your values. This is WMNF Tampa, 88.5 FM.
The opinions presented on the Healthy Steps show are the evidence-based opinions of Dr. Fred Harvey, the callers, and his guests. These are not the opinions of the staff, the volunteers, or the board of WMNF. The information provided on the show is not intended to diagnose or treat any disease. There is no implied patient-physician relationship in these calls. The nature of the calls is educational and informational only.
Good morning and howdy doody to you, my steadfast friend out there in the vast beyond, and welcome to the Healthy Steps radio show here on WMNF Tampa, the only station that they stream in Nobles Holler, and you can stream us as well at WMNF.org. I'm not very big on cliches, so I tend to avoid them like the plague, but I am happier than a pig and waller whenever we have an Ask Me Anything Monday. My challenge to you, my friend, is simply to call on into the Healthy Steps radio show. Today is Ask Me Anything Monday, and it depends on your questions, comments, and concerns. So let's keep my favorite phone maestro, Irene, busy this morning. Just give us a call at 813-239-9663. You can send an email to dj@wmnf.org or text us at 813-433-0885. Again, that number to call is 813-239-9663. Good morning to you, Dr. Harvey. I hope that you had a spectacular weekend and that life rewarded you with some of her bounty, and that you are now ready to guide us through another AMA Monday. I've already leached too much time here in this wind-up, so why don't you take it from here, Dr. Fred, and launch this show.
Everyone, happy Easter Monday. What a nice weekend, and what a beautiful spring we're having. How about it?
Indeed, I'm really enjoying it, or the old school saying, grooving on it.
How about it? It was a nice crisp morning today, and I'm just excited for a wonderful spring season. It's always a delight to have the light come back. And maybe next year we won't have to accelerate the light return by jumping forward again. Let's pray that the federal legislature decides to do a really easy law and stop the crazy time changing. All kinds of things in the news. I just love living in the information age because there's just so much that we're looking at and so much that we're able to bring to bear on the current problems on the planet. And what's great is that as we apply science to science, as we apply technology to technology, our abilities to actually discern these things get better. AI is going to be so helpful. As I've mentioned numerous times on the show, that we're finding ways to discern nuances in illness and health, functional metabolism, et cetera, that are really helping us define our world. And, you know, I love my training in standard allopathic conventional medical establishment training. It's the understanding of illness and the way we brought science to bear on illness is just impressive. We've done so many good things with it. You know, and we're left with a paradigm that uses a lot of labels and diagnoses, and diagnosis codes are basically just labels for stuff. And often they don't really give us an understanding of what's going on behind the scenes. I don't think there's a person listening right now that wouldn't know what I meant when I said someone has Parkinson's disease. It's a really well-recognized word. And yet, despite the fact that Dr. Parkinson described this, I think, in the mid-1800s, we don't really talk about how it happens. And we're getting more and more information about it. And one of the most important things that has come out in toxicity medicine and functional medicine is that Pesticide exposures are associated with neurodegenerative diseases. Neurodegenerative means breakdown of the brain and the nervous system, and that's what Parkinsonism is. An area in the midbrain called the basal ganglia, where your dopamine is made in a large amount, and an area that controls the fluidity of movement, is damaged. That damage results in the inability to control movement, and the people get rigid and tremors. And then, because it's a neurodegenerative disease, the brain deteriorates. And when that happens, these people can also lose cognitive abilities. They get a dementia syndrome as well as the movement syndrome. And we really do know that pesticide exposure is directly causative. there's a big problem in that big agriculture, big chemistry, and big oil. Big oil, remember, makes the chemicals or provides the raw materials that go to the big chemical manufacturers. The big chemical manufacturers then provide the poison chemicals to the agriculture businesses. You know, the ones that do monoculture agriculture and need pesticides because they've disrupted an ecosystem so that the plants aren't healthy any longer. They're barely surviving with the amount of poisons and nutrients that have to be thrown on the land to keep the dying topsoil alive with this kind of agriculture. But 58 countries have banned paraquat. Paraquat used to be sprayed on cannabis fields in Mexico. The American government paid for that to happen. Ruined a lot of cannabis for the Mexican cartels, but they didn't care. They just packaged it and sold it to Americans. And so America's idiotic DEA and approach to the control of these things caused Parkinson's disease in Americans. Because Americans didn't stop smoking the weed that was coming in from Mexico. But we've, you know, that was 30 years ago, 40 years ago. We've moved on maybe 50 years ago that they were doing that in the 70s. And so we moved on beyond that. And now it's just on our food. much better place to put it, you know. Get a beautiful crop of yummy food and then spray it with poison right before you harvest it. Sincerely brilliant, I think. How can you keep Monsanto's chemotherapy business in production? How can you keep the people who make Parkinson's drugs in business? But Syngenta, S-Y-N-G-E-N-T-A, Swiss-based company owned by the Chinese state, makes paraquat. And really, like, you know, the American tobacco manufacturers and all that, they've hidden the problems, the risks, and made up fake studies the same way the other people do. And Chinese and Swiss farmers are prohibited by their governments from using paraquat due to potential health risks. But sure, America is going to spray it on stuff because, yeah, that's just the way it works here. You know, a job creator needs to sell some products, so we support them. but the paraquat exposure alters or produces or induces Parkinsonism by altering a lipid profile and invoking inflammation. So it disrupts the way the nerves work. It ruins the fats. In fact, it causes rancid fat in the membranes in the brain. The brain's like 60% fat. So you're making a rancid fat brain. Not a good thing. Because your immune system is going to go in there and try to pull the rancid fats out. And when that happens, you damage the nerves and you get neurotoxicity and you lose areas of production in the brain that result in Parkinson's-like symptoms. And the finally, normally we have this information from animals, but there is published data now. Actually, it's not even now. 2011 is when at least one of the studies came out that showed that there's definitively a link between paraquat and rotenone, a similar pesticide, and Parkinson's disease. And so I think it's really worthwhile to go to EWG.org. That's the Environmental Working Group. And those people are really brilliant because they're fighting against this. And they have a petition right now to send to the federal government to stop the use of paraquat in America. It's sick. Almonds have huge amounts of paraquat. California is one of the biggest states that uses paraquat. It's humongous. In fact, I believe that California is the biggest state when it comes to that amount. California, Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, I think what it is. California has 9 million acres sprayed. Florida has 1.5 million acres of sugarcane sprayed. Oh, here's an interesting thing I found about sugarcane too. The H-2 visa, which is what they bring a lot of Jamaicans and Haitians and people in from the Caribbean to cut cane in the fields. The government doesn't expect the employers to pay any income tax. So the sugar producers are making a huge windfall by bringing these people in from out of the country and not paying any Social Security, Medicare, any paying into the system at all for these people. And the people get no benefits from the system. So they're basically here on a visa where they get no benefits, no help, and are exposed to vast amounts of pesticide. And so this is a real problem. Go to the EWG, sign the petition, call your legislature here, local state Florida legislators, and the governor's office, and do it to your Florida legislature in Washington, and let the president know. We need to change this stuff. We are poisoning people purposefully for profit. It's horrible. And I just want to remind everybody, this is an interactive show, and I think we may have some callers.
Indeed we do. We've got Gary and Gene on the line, but I'm going to give on out the number. I've got Greg's DJ Spaceship in the closet there doing the phones, so I want to make him stay awake. He's had a long shift so far today. So yes. Give us a call at 813-239-9663, or continue to send those emails to dj@wmnf.org and text us at 813-433-0885. The number to call in is 813-239-9663. Let's go to Gary. He's always got something valuable to add. Good morning, Gary.
Well, hello, James. Good morning.
Hey.
I'm gonna ask you a question, but I'm first gonna ask you, since you're on the subject of pesticides, just how safe is it to go buy an apple or an orange or apple or apricot from?
Oop, I think you cut out there, Gary, but I will answer. Safety in foods is a big issue, because many things are sprayed, and thin-skinned fruits and thin, like leafy vegetables, it's tough to get pesticides off of them. So the nature of strawberries, there's no thick skin. You can't get anything off of the skin. You can't peel it. So strawberries are filled with it. Watery filled vegetables like iceberg lettuce and celery, they suck in the pesticides. And so the Environmental Working Group, EWG.org, has a dirty dozen and clean 15. And that list is a way to make valid, worthwhile choices about what you're going to ingest, because the Dirty Dozen has, well, actually they've expanded to about 15 because they have such high pesticide residues. And those you want to always buy organic. And they include, like I said, strawberries, tomatoes, celery, iceberg lettuce, hot peppers, bell peppers, peaches, apples. Many, many things are on that list that you want to avoid. And potatoes are one of the worst offenders. They have some of the highest amounts of pesticides and fungicides in their flesh per gram of flesh. So you want to eat organic potatoes. Gary, are you still there?
I guess we don't have Gary anymore. So let's go on to Jean. She's also been waiting patiently from the get-go. Good morning, Jean.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My question today is about bug bites. So if there is a mosquito or a no-see-um within a mile of my husband, he's going to get bit. He's the guy that he gets bit and nobody else does. And then on top of that, they itch so bad that he gets to the point of bleeding, just scratching them at night. So I'm wondering, and he's tried every friggin' product out on the market to try to get them not to bite, and then uses lots of different things to help relief. And we're looking for better solutions because he's just in pain.
Carbon dioxide tends to be what brings the bugs around. Not much to do about that that I know of dietarily, but there are a bunch of different essential oil blends that might drive the bugs away. If you actually have long clothes on, you could put some repellent on your clothing, not on your skin. But for the itching, calming down the reaction in the skin is a smart thing to do. And one way to do that is to take things that would calm and stabilize mast cells, like quercetin. Quercetin is a really good kind of anti-allergy stabilizer. It helps your mast cells not react and keeps the histamine inside the cells. And then you could use some vitamin C, which helps to increase the integrity of your mucosa and prevent things from getting in. It also helps to stabilize the mast cells. And stinging nettle leaf is a good anti-allergen that's natural. But if somebody's having really severe itching, you might want to have a more sedative kind of antihistamine medication. Benadryl works great for acute itching. Not so great when you do it topically, but orally, it like makes you forget to itch.
Mm-hmm. And the quercetin and the vitamin C, do you take that like daily preventatively?
Yes. When allergy season starts here at the end of January, essentially, I start taking a combination of those things because it really helps to push back on the allergies.
Okay. And is there dosages that you can recommend?
Actually, I just stick with combination products like Natural Dehist is the name of one. Aller DHQ is another. There's a bunch of good ones out there. The combinations I look for have bromelain, a good enzyme, vitamin C, some stinging nettles, the quercetin, and often some N-acetylcysteine, which helps to break up mucus for people that have respiratory allergies.
Okay, great. Well, that's certainly things we haven't tried yet, so appreciate your help. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, it looks like we got Gary back, but I'm going to give on out the number again. Give us a call at 813-239-9663. This is Ask Me Anything Monday, so you get to direct the call. Hey, good morning, Gary.
Why, good morning again. This time, I hope I stay on. You know, a couple of days ago, I had a fall, and I split my forehead open, and it had 10 stitches. And they put a piece of gauze around it and put me up, wrapped it up like I look like a turban. Well, I look, took the turban off, and I had this piece of gauze on my stitches, and I have to get it off to clean it. And it hurts when it goes to remove it. How should I remove it?
Oh, yeah, that's an easy thing. You can take some sterile saline water, some sterile salt water. You can get them in little individual packets and moisten the dressing before you take it off. Or you could use a little bit of peroxide on that to moisten it. Either way, get the sticky residual scab stuff softened up so when you pull on the dressing, it doesn't pull on the stitches and make it hurt.
Oh, thank you. And let's see, can I clean it with alcohol?
Alcohol is going to make it sting more. I would just use some peroxide or some salt water.
Okay. And what about if I take a shower?
Yeah, rinse it with a little sterile salt water or some peroxide after the shower.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
All righty, and now I've got Aaron from Bradenton on the line. Good morning, Aaron.
Hey,
Aaron, you're breaking on up on us. Are you on speakerphone?
Hello?
Hello, Aaron.
Yes, sir?
What you got for us today?
Oh, hey, doctor. How are you?
Excellent. How are you?
Great. Thank you. Hey, just wanted to ask in general what your thoughts were on coffee, teas, like regarding pesticides. Like what is your opinion there?
You're right. It's something to think about. Many teas and coffee beans are sprayed. There has been some evidence that teas coming in from China and India may actually have some contaminants, some toxic metal contaminants. And so it's really important to look for a good source, preferably one that tests the product. That's usually going to increase the price of it, but it also ensures the quality and the safety. But I have begun using because of the mold issue also, mycotoxins in coffee are an issue. I've switched to brands that actually do the testing and use some science behind their roasting and blending. One of the companies is called Purity Coffee, and Purity has been working on specific blends that have different amounts of antioxidants of different types and different roasts that do that. And they have some clinical research that actually backs up some of the work on Alzheimer's disease and other issues. But it tastes really good. It's got no petrochem, no metals, no mycotoxins. And so it's a good coffee. There are others out there. I believe Bulletproof is one, but you need to do some research and look, because there are contaminants for sure.
Is there any websites or anything that maybe has information on different coffee brands, like what may be found in some of the testing or samples?
Actually, I think that's been done. I can't give you a specific website, but if you actually were to do a web search and look for Purity Coffee, Life Boost Coffee, Bulletproof Coffee, and other clean coffees and compare them, there's lots of people like Consumer Reports and other places that actually do comparisons of these things.
Okay. Good stuff. Hey, real quick, too, one other question. I severely sprained my ankle over the weekend. Do you have any suggestions there at all for a speedy recovery?
Sprained your ankle? That would be, do a wrap, like an ACE wrap. And Arnica is a good thing to use for bruises and trauma. Maybe keep it elevated if it's swollen, and be careful. You might want to, since you sprained an ankle, it's likely to sprain it again because the tendons and ligaments are lax in that area. So you might want to use some high top shoes just to get you some better ankle support.
Yeah, it's definitely a repeat injury, and it's pretty bad. So
yes, and usually it does do that. It'll get worse. So be very careful in the future and protect it. High tops, things like that.
Sure. Okay.
Oh, yeah, there's another thing you can try. Orthosilicic acid. It's Biosil or Regenimax. It helps you make more collagen. So you want to get good vitamin C, too, because that helps you make collagen. That'll help you actually strengthen those areas. And class 4 hot laser that chiropractors, acupuncturists, and physical therapists are using can actually increase the collagen formation, because it actually recruits the cells that improve the soft tissue structure in the area. So laser is another approach that can help strengthen that.
Okay, that's a great one. What was the acid? Orthosilic acid?
Orthosilicic, S-I-L-I-C-I-C. It's an organic silica compound that really increases collagen production.
Okay, awesome. Thank you so much for that, Doc. Appreciate you.
You're so welcome. Have a great day.
Take care.
You too.
Thank you there, Aaron, and good luck with that ankle. And I know you've gotten a slew of emails there, doctor.
Yes.
So I'm going to let you scan over them while I give on out the number again. Today is Ask Me Anything Monday here on WMNF Tampa and the Healthy Steps Radio Show with Dr. Fred Harvey. So give us a call at 813-239-9663. Again, that number is 813-239-9663. Back to you there, Doctor.
Well, here's an anonymous email that has a single line. It says, "Paraquat stays in the ground." I'm not sure where this person got their misinformation or their disinformation, but that is completely not true. In fact, plants are amazing at detoxifying the ground. And then when we eat the plants, we get toxified. Paraquat in wheat grains is a real issue. Wheat is one of the highest paraquat residue grains. And the amazing ability of plants to detoxify is just so impressive. Paraquat was translocated from the soil into the wheat grains and resulted in a high concentration of paraquat in the wheat grains. And what's really interesting is that it was dependent on the percent of clay in field soils. The more the percent of clay, the lesser paraquat was found. Clay is a very interesting thing. In fact, we use clay in detoxification. Bentonite clay is a binder. And so bentonite clay actually holds on to toxins and pulls them out of your body. And so this is pretty interesting evidence that clay soils hold on to the residues and don't let the plant take it up. But yes, paraquat is found in grains. It does not stay in the ground unless you have high clay soil. And that's, I think, a fascinating issue. Randy says, is there a natural way to rid the body of an ongoing fungal infection? He has a fungal infection on his right foot that over-the-counter medications only keep under control but never cure. Well, that depends on where it is. If it's in the toenails, that's very hard to eliminate. And it takes 9 months to 12 months of oral antifungal medication generally to drive it out of your toenails. But it's a one possibility. If something's been going on that long, but only over-the-counter medications have been tried, I think it's worth to think about another level. But your body might need some help, and that could mean maybe you have too much sugar on board that's supporting the fungal growth, or you have some immune disruption of other kind that would be contributing. I think we have some callers.
Indeed, we do. Again, we've got Gloria in Tampa and Sandra. Let's go to Gloria. Good morning, Gloria.
Good morning.
Hi there.
So my question is, a couple of weeks ago, you were talking about COVID, and I have an eye doctor's appointment coming up, and I do wear a mask. You don't hear about it anymore, but can you still catch COVID through the eyes? Remember when COVID first came out, they said, oh, you have to cover your eyes and so can you still catch it?
You can get any airborne virus through your eyes.
Okay, so I should, because I did request the eye doctor wearing a mask, so I should ask them if they could wear a mask.
You can ask them, yeah.
So that was my question, because you don't hear about that anymore. And so since I do have an appointment, I was like, I wonder, can you still catch it through the eyes? So, okay, thank you.
Yes, it's still going around, and all viruses can be caught through the eyes if they're respiratory airborne viruses.
Okay. I do have another question. So you're a geriatric doctor, right?
Yes, I am.
Okay. So at what age should a person, older age, should they look for a geriatric doctor? And do you really need to? Is that only for people, older people who are really sick? Or, I'm just
So most people practicing geriatrics today, as a specialty, I think spend most of their time with nursing homes. They're nursing home directors and things like that. But in general, I think that functional medicine is a specialty that follows you from the birth to the grave, because we have the flexibility of understanding dysfunction rather than disease. We can watch how people are faring throughout their entire life course. And so a functional medicine doctor is an ideal person to follow you through your senior years. And we also address things functionally, and it's functional problems that are the biggest issue for seniors. As they have decreasing function, they have increasing problems. And so we work to maintain function, always recommending taking healthy steps every day, like walking 20 to 30 minutes outside every day is a way to keep from getting to the point where you need a walker.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, great. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Thank you there, Gloria. Let's go to Sandra in Tampa. Good morning, Sandra.
Oh, yes. Hi. Hi. Good morning, Doctor. Thanks for your time.
You're welcome.
I had a quick question. What are good supplements for the eyes, you know, as you're getting older and you want to sort of have it slow down the degeneration with your eyes kind of thing? I just wear reading glasses, but I can see that, you know, it's getting progressively worse. So I'm just wanting to start taking supplements for my eyes. Is there any good brands that you like?
Yeah, I think that foundationally, when we're talking about any kind of aging, we want to take a foundational vitamin combination. And I think that everyone deserves a high quality multivitamin, multimineral, and some omega-3 fats. My favorite is fish oil, some vitamin D, and a probiotic. I think that's a good place to start. And then for your eyes, antioxidants are critical. And carotenoids, the yellow red pigment family, are very important for eye health. And so taking lutein, lycopene, and beta carotene are very important. Vitamin A itself is important. Zinc helps the eyes. And there are other herbs like eye bright that are known to be supportive. Vitamin C is important. And alpha lipoic acid and other fat soluble vitamins like the carotenoids help to stabilize fat membranes. And the retina is pretty much a fatty membrane with needs for ongoing antioxidant support. Hydration is really important too. And wearing sunglasses in Florida's intense UVs is really smart to help prevent cataracts.
Okay. I heard the previous caller speaking to you about functional medicine. I just had a question. So functional medical doctors, forgive my ignorance, are y'all actually medical doctors as well? Like study medicine and venue?
That's a good question, because there's a lot of people out there that call themselves functional medicine practitioners, and they're actually functional practitioners. They look at things kind of the way functional medicine doctors do, but a certified functional medicine practitioner by the Institute for Functional Medicine is the only certification board for this specialty, as the Institute for Functional Medicine actually created this new paradigm in medicine. Other people talk about it in more integrative medicine ways, but functional medicine is a very new paradigm in the way we look at human health and focus on human health, not illness. And yes, most of us are MDs and DOs. There are also nurse practitioners, dietitians, pharmacists, dentists, veterinarians, but almost all at this point, I think all of us that actually have the certification have had to have a professional licensure of some sort to actually become certified. And so you need to find someone who is IFMCP, Institute for Functional Medicine certified practitioner. That way you know that you have a highly trained healthcare professional.
Okay, and those acronyms were IF.
M as in Mary, mm-hmm. C as in Charlie, P as in Paul, and you can find a doctor search or a practitioner search directory at ifm.org, Institute for Functional Medicine.org, and you can put in a search for your area or nationwide.
Yeah, I was just checking if there were doctors as well, because I'm just wondering if your insurance would cover you seeing that kind of doctor, you know, functional medicine doctor, as opposed to just a normal doctor. So that's why.
Sometimes it does. Some of us, like my practice, I have a concierge practice. I do very high level functional medicine. My job is helping people with severe chronic illness recover. And so I deal with people who have dementia and heart disease, post heart attack, peripheral vascular disease, small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, Lyme disease, chronic inflammatory illnesses like mycotoxin, Lyme, and post-COVID.
Okay, well, thank you so much. You were beyond helpful, and I wrote all my notes on the eye herbs and supplements. Thank you. Have a good one.
Beautiful. You too. And you can listen to the show again on the archive if you missed anything. And when you stop by there, please help WMNF and drop by the tip jar.
Always. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Thank you, Sandra. Let's go to Nan in St. Petersburg. Good morning, Nan.
Hello?
Hello there.
Yes. Hi, Dr. Harvey. I just had something I wanted to say about pesticides. I'm a journalist, and I did a book for the University Press of Florida a few years ago.
Yes.
About migrant workers in Florida. It's called
Yes.
Farm Workers in the 21st Century. I was all over the state for 2 years. I've been in and out of fields and chased out of fields and all.
Yeah, no doubt.
And I just wanted to say, people always say, oh, they put pesticides on, if wash them good. Well, you cannot wash pesticides off. I've been in the packing houses. They bring in crates of the vegetables from the fields. There's a staff inside the packing house that washes all of them in a chemical wash, similar to what they use in restaurants to wash dishes, just a little bit of chemical. So they're already washed. And the pesticides do not come off. The pesticides are absorbed through the roots, and they are internally in the plant. You cannot wash them off.
So true.
And I was just amazed when I was out there. You'd see these giant vats with pesticides with skull and crossbones on the side of these big containers just laying out in the fields, on the edge of the fields, on their sides, so that they were draining out whatever was left in them in the sun. And these poor workers don't even, some of the workers I talked to had been working before they actually started informing them that they were using pesticides. They were in the fields as the crop dusters went over and sprayed them in the field.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's basically, they're cannon fodder, not actually relevant to the profit of the machine.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and also you said something about sugar workers earlier. They don't bring in many sugar workers anymore. They have it all mechanized now, so they have mechanized cutting things, these machines that cut. And so they bring in very few workers, and that's mainly because the soil got so thin because they kept replanting. There's just barely an inch of soil. Right now they're practically planting sugarcane directly into the limestone. But what is a big problem down there is the burning. They continue to burn sugarcane. All of the people around Belgrade have horrible respiratory problems and asthma and everything because they burn like 7 months out of the year, 8 months out of the year. They burn the stubble off, which they don't need to do. That's biomass. They could use it for better uses.
burning it off is another way to deplete the soil. I mean, they use absolutely idiotic, destructive agriculture techniques, and they should be stopped. But the legislature is obviously owned by these billionaires.
Oh, it is. It is. The groups from Cuba, whose names I will not mention, but they're very important in this, you know.
Of course.
And, plus the U.S. government gives the sugar, they have a subsidy here. We pay more for sugar than anybody else in the world.
Right.
So, anyway, that's my two cents. So, thank you for
having me. Hey, Nan, what's the name of your book?
Florida's Farm Workers in the 21st Century.
You know, I think I just saw quotes from that as I was researching.
You might have. It came out in 2003, University Press of Florida.
Cool.
Yeah, so you can find sections of it. It got a lot of publicity when it first came out.
No doubt. Well, thank you for your great work. I really appreciate you.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate you. I listen most every Monday. So
beautiful.
Have a good day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much there, Nan. Let's go to Toby in Arcadia. Hey, Toby.
Hi. I was listening to you talking about mosquitoes. There was that caller who said her husband is a magnet for mosquitoes.
Yes.
I always have been also. And many years ago, I lived in an area which was really, really heavy with mosquitoes. And I discovered a remedy, which is garlic. And I took garlic oil pills or pearls, you know, the little, like the gelatin capsule kind of thing.
Sure.
And it made a huge difference because what we watched the difference. Instead of being covered with bites, the mosquitoes would land, but they wouldn't bite. I swarms of them land on my arms. And they did not bite me anymore.
That's great. I wonder if that's where they got the myth that garlic keeps vampires away.
Yeah, could be. But I think that I was taking B12 also, but I honestly don't remember, and I don't remember dosages. But for that guy who's having trouble, I would, you know, really recommend get the garlic oil and experiment with that. That might just make all the difference.
That's great help. Thank you.
And I appreciated your information on the quercetin. Am I saying it right?
Yes. Quercetin.
Yeah. I'm looking that up because I have horrible allergies, you know, grasses and oak trees and all kinds of things that I'm surrounded by.
And get some of that.
That sounds like something I should try.
Yes. Get some of that and some of the stinging nettles leaf extract. It's so effective.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
All right. Well, thank you there, Toby. Let's go to Kay in Bradenton. Good morning, Kay.
Okay. Hi, Dr. Harvey.
Hello.
My question is, I've had sinus issues most of my life, and I found something that worked, which is Zizol, but it just makes me so tired. Like, I'll take it, you know, before I go to bed, and I wake up tired. It's hard to get up. Because I'm so tired. So I went to a ear specialist, throat and nose specialist, and she recommended using Flonase every day. And I'm like, you know, I heard bad things about that and that you really shouldn't be putting stuff up your nose every day. What are your feelings about that?
Well, actually, I have some thoughts on the science of it. The recommendation for keeping things out of your nose is really specifically addressing the use of nasal decongestants like Afrin and neosinephrine. Those are addictive. Flonase is not, and Flonase can actually get the people who are addicted to the other sprays off of them because it helps to shrink the nasal mucosa. However, it is a steroid, and ongoing use of a steroid is not recommended. It's immune disruptive. And even though this is a tiny dose in your nose, it may have systemic effects. And I do believe that it does, even though they say that the systemic effect is so low, it's not to worry about. I think any systemic effect is something to consider when you're thinking about long-term use of anything. And so the Zizol and Zyrtec are sister compounds, and they're cousins of Benadryl, all of which are quite sedating. And so you might want to switch over to something like Allegra or fexofenadine is its generic, or Claritin, and I'm blanking on its generic. Those are non-sedating antihistamines.
Okay, I'll have to try that. I even do like neti pot, you know, to clear out my sinuses. Like, you know, yes. I do a humidifier in my room. I mean, I just don't want to take medications, but I'm dealing with this all the time and every day, and it's really annoying.
Well, the supplements that I recommended earlier, Aller DHQ or Natural Dehist, those are highly effective at calming down nasal allergies.
Okay, and what is it called again? I'm sorry.
Allerdhq or Natural Dehist.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, thank you for your information. I appreciate it. And I'll try these other things and see how that works.
Okay. Good luck with
that. Have a good day. Thank you.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Okie doke. We're down to about the last 10 minutes of the show. Let's go to Michelle in Bradenton. Good morning, Michelle.
Hi, doctor. My question is about vitamins, whether they're liquid or a capsule or a tablet, and their true absorption level, whether you have a full stomach or, you know, how much water you truly need to take them down with, but also ones that you may, like, dilute in some water, if you understand my question.
So you're asking about your supplements affected by their delivery method and how much water you drink and how much food is in your stomach?
Yeah, pretty much. Like if you have a full meal, should you just not take your vitamins because it's not like at that moment because it's not going to absorb? Or do you
Freeze it? So I believe that I will absorb my dinner and so or my breakfast. And I tend to take a large amount of morning supplements with my breakfast because I consider them food. And I take only some things on an empty stomach, ones that I want absorbed separately, things like DHEA. I take that first thing in the morning because I want that supportive hormone to be absorbed. I take alone and separately, and I take amino acids sometimes separately because I want them to be working on neurotransmitter production before anything else. And so most things, though, I take with food, and I don't take them with water. I swallow the capsules with chewed-up food because I don't want to drink a huge glass of water just to get a couple of pills down. Our pharyngeal reflex is instinctual in that it rejects solids with water. So when you put a capsule in a mouthful of water, your throat doesn't really want it because we remember from our evolutionary days running across the Serengeti when we stuck our head in a pond to drink and a tadpole hit the back of our throat, we choked it out. And so that's kind of the way I look at capsules and tablets. I actually chew up some food, put some pills in with the food and swallow the whole thing because your pharynx likes to swallow solids. And most of us have never really chewed till it's puree. We are good at swallowing chunks.
Yes. And now my one more. What about sublingual, say a dropper?
Yeah, those are good.
Consider it under the tongue or how, because then I tend to just swallow right away and I think, well, what's the point?
Well, when you put a B12 tablet under your tongue, you let it dissolve slowly, you'll get lots of absorption through there. There's very good evidence that you absorb across the mucosa quickly. When you send it to your stomach, it takes longer and it gets transformed with the acid in your stomach. So some things are actually better to keep in your mouth, including homeopathic remedies for a few moments. And if you put some liquid under your tongue, don't swallow.
Okay. And then one more thing, like a metal detox, do you have any advice on a brand or anything?
Actually, it's a little bit more complex than that, but somebody else sent an email. Shilajit, what do you think? I created a detox supplement for Zymogen, X-Y-M-O-G-E-N. You can get it at the Healthy Steps store. It's called Kelex, C-H-E-L-E-X. It contains Shilajit, which is an amazing fossilized peat resin that is a binder for toxic petrochemicals and toxic metals. It's also an amazing stimulus for healing the lining of the gut. I think Shilajit is one of the best things that's in Helix. In addition to that, it has some herbs, including some garlic, which may help to disrupt some mosquitoes. But garlic and other sulfur-containing things like broccoli are really good binders for toxic metals, and they help with detoxification. So should you like to do detox, I would say Helix.
Okay, and is that something you would continue to take, like daily, or just for a certain amount of time?
Well, anytime you eat grain, you're probably eating mycotoxins and also pesticides. So it might not be a bad idea anytime you eat grain or beans to pop a Helix to bind up some of the junk that you're ingesting. Because we have polluted our planet. There is toxin in almost everything we do. You walk outside the door here in this coast of Florida and you're breathing mercury in the atmosphere because we live in an atmospheric mercury red zone per the EPA. So toxicity is the cause of our chronic degenerative diseases. I would detox every day. Take some detox drops, like drainage drops, homeopathic remedy, and some Helix regularly.
And that will help with the fertilizer toxins and stuff too?
It helps. It helps with all kinds of toxins.
Okay, and what was the dropper one you just mentioned with the Helix?
Drainage, Drainage.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much.
You're so welcome.
Well, Doctor, we're down to the wee portion of the show, and I know you've got a bunch of emails, so let's go off to those.
Sounds like a good idea. So, let's see. Any thoughts on CMOS supplements and cacao? Actually, sea vegetables are something really good to eat. Each one has its own different kind of properties, but they all have this great amount of organic minerals and iodine. And we all need more iodine because of Fukushima and Chernobyl and Three Mile Island that polluted our atmosphere and our world with radioactive iodine, radioactive cesium, and other things that interfere with our functions. So CMOS, good supplement. So is getting nori snacks from the health food store, those little crispy seaweed squares that are different flavors and crunchy and have lots of iodine in. Cacao, raw cocoa, unprocessed. Look for organic, look for fair trade, and have at it because the antioxidants in cacao are wonderful. Here's one Tommy asked. I was recently diagnosed with periodontal disease, and they said that I need to have my wisdom teeth pulled. Well, wisdom teeth can't interfere. I'm not sure why they would tell you to do that, but periodontal disease and wisdom teeth aren't connected. However, using some vitamin C daily, 3,000 milligrams if your belly tolerates it, and coenzyme Q10. I have my patients break the capsules and put it on their gums. Really rejuvenates the gums, and then swallow the capsule too. It's really expensive, and a dental probiotic can also help with this. There's some really good things to do. I'm not sure what about your wisdom teeth though. Let's see. If the crops were grown indoor, sort of like CPU chips, then two costs will drop, herbicide and insecticide. No, actually, if the crops are grown outdoor like we normally grow things and we use polyculture agriculture like a permaculture yard like I have, that's a mixed forest with trees of fruit and then vegetables on the ground underneath, you can really get away with it without having to deal with growing indoors. I like the idea of outdoor herbs. I think we're pretty much down to the wire here. And I got a lot of emails from the one person today. Ag farms out here in Hillsboro still use paraquat to kill the strawberries. Yeah, they're using it in all kinds of stuff. Hey, see you next week. It's going to be a great one. Ask me anything again, my friends.
Very good, Doctor. We're looking forward to it. I certainly am. And I want to thank Greg for handling the phones. And until next Monday at 10 a.m., thanks to our listeners for participating and supporting the Healthy Steps Radio Show with Dr. Fred Harvey here on WMNF Tampa, your community conscious radio station. You have been listening to the Healthy Steps radio show with Dr. Fred Harvey here on WMNF Tampa. Waiting for you like a faithful golden retriever in the window is 5 minutes of NPR News, followed by the Sustainable Living Show, hosted by the exemplary team of Annie Ellis and Tanya Vidovic. Until next Monday at 10 a.m., thank you for supporting and listening to the Healthy Steps radio show with Dr. Fred Harvey here on WMNF Tampa, your community-conscious radio station. Stay safe, stay thoughtful, and know that you are loved.